ponder with me for a moment, if you would. What would life be like without computers? They're only good when they work. I know. What would life be like without disposable diapers? You've been a lot of places. What would life be like without plastic? Here's a critical one. And I'm going to give you 30 seconds to answer it with your neighbor. And then I'm going to ask you for your answers. What would life be like without chocolate? Discuss it with your neighbor. Quick, 30 seconds. Now you got 20 seconds. What would life be like without chocolate? Okay, that's enough. Give me some quick answers. What do you say? What would life be like without chocolate?
Sweetness is gone.
Sweetness is gone. Ooh. 10 pounds lighter. Somebody else.
Not a problem.
You're not American. Anybody else? Life without chocolate. Horrible. Oh, boy. Couple more questions to ponder. What would life be like without Joe Paterno? Oh! You Ohio State fans, you just calm down. Here's one for yesterday. What would life be like without yard sales? Harleton would not be on the map. One more to talk with your neighbor real fast. Ready? What would life be like without cell phones? Good. What would life be like without cell phones? Some quick answers. Peaceful. Quiet.
Safer on the highway.
No what? No tumors. Oh, gotcha. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. Anybody else?
I'm wondering what's wrong with me. None of these things bother me.
Next question. What would it be like if Darlene was bothered? No. Thank you.
Seems to me like all these things we think we'd miss if we never had them to start with, we wouldn't know what they were.
Ooh, interesting. These are all leading up to something, believe it or not. Last question. What would life be like without the resurrection of Jesus Christ?
No hope.
Horrible, no hope, lost.
Whole complete different world.
Be back to the sacrificial system again, probably in the temple, whatever, maybe. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul, I think, is pondering this question. Take your Bible, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. He says, "But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there's no resurrection of the dead? If there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. I love that. Christ has been raised from the dead. Lord Jesus, as we just think for a few moments and ponder what the resurrection means for us today, speak to us, Lord, please. And may we be reminded, and may we be that witness. May we indeed be a witness that says, He is risen, the grave is empty. And may it all be for your glory. Amen. Amen. Later on in verse 29, we find Paul observing that without the resurrection, first he says, without the resurrection, baptism is worthless. It's meaningless. Because baptism and the resurrection of Christ, they go hand in hand. In Acts chapter 8, if you turn back there quick, Acts chapter 8. In Acts 8, we find the story of, if you remember, Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And the eunuch is reading Isaiah 53, verses 7 through 8. And we have that for us in Acts 8, 32. Okay? Acts 8, 32. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. And then go on now, verse 34. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or somebody else? Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. What's so good about the news about Jesus? There were lots of prophets. The eunuch is saying, is this guy just another prophet? There's lots of prophets. What makes Jesus and the good news idea, the good news is that Jesus isn't dead. The other prophets, they all died. But Jesus is alive. The tomb is empty. That's the good news. Baptism symbolizes the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That's the good news. That's the connection. Once the eunuch understood the good news, what does he say? Hey, why can't I be baptized right now? And of course, he is baptized. Philip baptizes him because he makes the connection. A couple pages later, Acts 10. Acts 10. Another story. We find Peter visiting the house of Cornelius. Remember who Cornelius was? He was a Roman, what? Army officer, right? Yeah, a Roman army officer who loved the Lord. And while praying, Cornelius is visited by an angel. And the angel says, go send for this guy. His name is Peter. Go send for him. Have him come to your house and listen to what he says. So Peter comes and he witnesses to Cornelius regarding Jesus Christ. Verse 39, Acts 10, 39. Peter says, we are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. Of course, talking about Jesus. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he's the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him received forgiveness of sins through his name. Look at verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. And then Peter says, can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Again, the connection. If Jesus is dead, there's no baptism. It's futile. It's ridiculous. But he's alive. He's risen. Therefore, baptism makes sense. I've had the privilege of baptizing a whole lot of you. And it indeed is a humble privilege to do that. I've also had the privilege of baptizing all four of my children. And as a dad, I can't begin to explain how awesome that is to be able to do that. But I had another experience, and I'm not sure you're aware of this or not, but I had the experience just a few years ago, the humble privilege of baptizing my mother. Having come here to the Buffalo Valley years and years ago and learning about immersion and adult baptism, I was raised in the Methodist church and I was sprinkled as a baby. My mother was raised in that very same church. She was sprinkled as a baby. As I learned more about immersion and adult baptism, later on, I decided to be immersed as an adult, and I was. And I told my mom about it many times and how exciting it was. And she said for years, she said, wow, I wish I could do that. And just a couple years ago, she came to me and she said, would you baptize me? And I thought, wow, baptizing my mom. Okay. Our neighbor has it's a pond up in a little town near us on top of a mountain, gorgeous. It's a big pond. I learned how to water ski on that pond. And it's not a lake, but it's a big, big pond. And the fishing's really good. But we would go there often, and my mom said, let's go up to the neighbor's pond up here, and would you baptize me? So we worked it out. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous Saturday night. And we drove up, and the place was empty. Nobody was there. It was me, my mom, and my dad. And we walked out into the water. He has a little sandy beach he put in like keisters do back there at theirs, you know. And we walked out into the water, and my mom got down on her knees, and I baptized her. That was cool. But it would have all been for nothing if the tomb was still full. If Jesus was still dead in his grave, it would have been futile. But it's empty. And because it's empty, it means something. And I just thank the Lord for the opportunity that he gave me. The Church of the Brethren came into being as 8 people were baptized in the Eder River in Schwarzenau, Germany in 1708. Early Brethren took considerable risk by being rebaptized, an action that separated them from the state churches into which they had been baptized as infants. Such action was punishable by death. You know, going up there to the neighbor's pond, we weren't afraid of anything. We weren't taking a risk. We weren't trying to hide going up there, like, you know, late at night or something and do it so nobody knew. It was right out in the open in plain day. But for the early brethren, when they were baptized, they could be arrested. They could be thrown into prison for that because it was against the law. Back to 1 Corinthians 15 again, when Paul's trying to talk about the resurrection. And look what he says in verse 30. And as for us, why do we endanger ourselves every hour? I die every day. I mean that, brothers. Just as surely as I glory over you in Christ Jesus our Lord, if I fought wild beasts in Ephesus for merely human reasons, what have I gained? Paul's saying, following Jesus is going to cost you something. It's risky. You could die for this. June 6th is coming. We hope, or is it 5th? I forget, the first Sunday in June, whatever it is. But again, we want to have our baptismal service at Keister's Pond and have our picnic and everything like we have. And you know, we're not going there thinking, oh man, we could die for this. We feel safe. We feel free. We do it in the open. But baptism was risky business. And Paul said too, you know, he talks about dangers and hardships and sacrifices that he made for the cause of Christ. He was willing to die for Jesus. How many times was he shipwrecked and beaten and left for dead? There are several. If the tomb is still full, Paul's a fool for risking his life. But he's saying, but Christ is risen. He's risen. The resurrection gives meaning to hardships and dangers and sacrifices. And Christ still calls us today to sacrifice for him. Gives it meaning and purpose. Maybe you have a job you don't like, and it feels like, you know, you're being persecuted. But you're there because you believe the Lord wants you to be there. Maybe in school you're picked on terribly for being a Christian. The kids that, you know, the popular kids, you're one of their favorite targets because, oh, you're a Christian, ha, 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 and they just let you have it. But you got to remember, when you're going through those hard times and those persecutions, and maybe you're in a difficult marriage, maybe, you know, you're taking an unpopular stand on a difficult issue, whatever, you got to remember, the tomb is empty. That's why we do that stuff. Because the tomb is empty. Praise the Lord. And then Paul, he brings up one more argument. Again, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 32. Verse 32. At the end of verse 32. He says, if the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink. Tomorrow we die. Tomorrow we die. If Jesus is still in the grave, God is either dead or God's powerless. If Jesus is still in the grave, there's no eternal life. There's nothing to look forward to after this life. This life is all you got. So what's that old commercial? Get all the gusto you can. Because there's nothing after this. There's no resurrection. There's no eternal life. This is it. Live it up, guys. Morals. What's the point of having morals? But Paul says, no, no, no. Because the tomb is empty, we care about morals. And we care about living a moral life. You know, if God is powerless, why obey the Ten Commandments? Why should we argue that adultery is wrong? Why should we fuss over abortion? So what if you cheat on your income taxes? Without the resurrection, morals are groundless. A husband and wife were discussing the possibility of taking a trip to the Holy Land. The husband asked, wouldn't it be fantastic to go to the Holy Land and stand and shout the Ten Commandments from Mount Sinai? And the wife said, it'd be better if we stayed home and kept them. Be better if we stayed home and kept them. Why? Because the tomb is empty. That is why. We are responsible to God for our behavior because the tomb is empty. Our sufferings and sacrifices have meaning because the tomb is empty. Our baptism is significant because the tomb is empty. Let me close with three more questions to ponder. First one, what if the empty tomb is for you? Not for somebody else, for you. What if Jesus died, was buried, and rose again for you? What if you leave this place this morning without Jesus in your life? We figure, oh, 10 minutes, we'll be done, and we'll have coffee and go to Sunday school, and a bunch of you will go home, and so others will come, you know, for the second service, and we'll leave here today, and, you know, 1 o'clock we have our council meeting, and, you know, just another day, another Sunday. But you don't know that. This question is critical because you don't know what's going to happen this afternoon. You don't know what's going to happen tonight. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen next week. This could be, right now, Your very last chance, your very last opportunity to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You don't know. So the question is, are you willing to take the risk? Are you willing to take the chance? Because you don't know what's going to happen 5 minutes from now. You don't know. What if you leave this place this morning with the tomb being empty? What if you leave this place this morning ignoring the empty tomb? What if you leave this morning ignoring Jesus? Can you take that chance? Can you take the risk? Let's bow our heads. Dear Jesus, I praise you and worship you that the tomb is empty. I praise you and worship you, Lord, that we serve a living God, that we serve a living Savior. Lord, that has incredible implications for our lives today. But Lord, I think the most critical implication is this. If the tomb is empty, that means everything you said is true. Everything you did really happened. And we need you desperately. And if the tomb is empty, you promised that you would come back someday. And that we would be judged for our behavior. And you said that through you we could be forgiven. And you said that through you, when we die, we could have eternal life. Lord, we don't know what's going to happen 5 minutes from now. Now is the time, now is the moment, Father, for all of us to really ponder, am I living for you? And for those who don't know you, to ponder, do I dare leave this place without you? Critical question. For those of us, Lord, who know you as Lord and Savior, hallelujah, praise you. For those of us who don't, it's decision time. It's time to make a choice. And I pray, dear God, indeed, that the folks here who don't know you yet as Lord and Savior would respond to the empty tomb, would respond to your love, respond to your sacrifice, respond and accept you as Lord. If there's anyone here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and for you, you've made the choice, I need to do something about that now. I invite you during our next song to make a stand. I'm going to be down front. I invite you to join me. I want to pray with you. I want to show you how to let Jesus be your Lord and Savior, how to invite him into your life. And it's not show and tell. Don't be afraid. People want to, if you come up, the people here, they want to pray with you and pray for you as well. That's why we ask you to do it, so we do it during the time when we're all together. Because they will join us in our prayer. Lord Jesus, I pray the Holy Spirit would move and work. My prayer, Lord, every one of us, we walk out these doors this morning, we will have you in our hearts. We will have surrendered our lives to you. We will know you as Lord and Savior, so that no matter what happens today or tonight or tomorrow, It'll be okay. In your name, Lord, we pray. Amen.